Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together before we look at God's word this morning. So God, we've had a great experience already just letting our minds and our hearts imagine that amazing night when you came to earth as we've sung these songs. And as we look at your word now, and we describe, we reread what these angels described as this great joy, what we need what you're describing. We need this great joy. We need the salvation that is described. And as we look at it, would you please make your word and your truth crystal clear to every single one of us here today? And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. All right, so we've got a couple props. We'll get to those in a second. Do not be distracted. So, Christmas season, right? The Christmas season, this Christmas season, we've been looking at the traditional structure of Advent as we've been going through it. We've looked at hope, we've looked at love, we looked at peace. Today, we're looking at joy, great joy. Have you ever noticed we have the ability as humans to make simple things complicated? Yeah. How about the Christmas season as an example, right? Many people say it is the most stressful and the most tiring season of the entire year. We buy, we ship, we decorate, we produce family letters and family photographs. We gather with friends. We have to plan a menu. We gather with family. We host. And to add it all up, just because Christmas isn't busy enough, my family got a new puppy on December 6th. And there he is. And he's cute as can be, but I just have to acknowledge, I didn't even get Christmas lights on my house this year, and my tree is not even decorated. That's how crazy my life is. And we don't even have a wrapped present under our tree. Scandalous. I just keep blaming it on the puppy. Look, the point is, it can all be a lot, and it can all feel really complicated. I want to make Christmas very, very simple and clear for you today, all right? We're going to leave all the complications behind. Here you go. Christmas is about great joy being offered to you. That's it. Great joy being offered to you. Now, let's imagine that this spigot here is the joy dispenser. Where would you set the knob for your life? Would you have it in the off position? If you would have it in the off position, let me just acknowledge that that may be someone in here. If that's you, hopefully this sermon would help. If not, please, for the sake of your family, go watch either The Grinch or The Christmas Carol as soon as possible, because you need a little bit of joy, all right? So, but some would set it off. Would you turn it a little? And you say, you know what? I'm just going to turn it a little bit. I just want like a drip. That's all I want. I just need drips. If that's you, you're a budgeter. That's who you are. You like a budget. There's something about you that actually enjoys putting other people on a budget. You are prudent. You are saving for the future. Maybe you would set it there. Or would you crank this thing up? You're like, look, if that's the joy dispenser, like I just want to like crank this thing all the way open. How far does it go? I don't even know. Just keep cranking it and you get drenched and totally soaked in joy. Great joy. See, where would you set the flow? That's the question. Today, I'm going to show you that God wants your joy spigot all the way open. He wants you to get drenched in great joy. Let me show you. On the night that Jesus was born, the book of Luke tells us that an angel showed up to a group of shepherds, and in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, This is what it says. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So this is a message for every single one of you. It's a message for every person in the whole world. So you can insert your name right there at the beginning. I don't know if there's a Scott here, but you know what? If your name is Scott, the angel says, "I have a message of great joy for you." Sarah, the angel says, "I have a message of great joy for you." Insert your name, and that angel's message is for you. The angel says, "I have a message of great joy for you." So what is that message? What was the message that was good news of great joy? Well, the next verse tells us, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So there it is. This message that is so amazing, good news of great joy, is that a Savior has just been born. What a fun message to deliver. I mean, this is better than any other good news message that could ever be delivered. I mean, imagine you're that angel. You get to deliver this message. This is better than delivering the message of your student loans have been forgiven, which would be great. This is better than the message the cancer scan has come back and you're cancer free. This is better than the message you got the part, you got the job, you got the promotion, you are pregnant. Look, those are all good good news messages, but it's not as good as the angel's message. No, the angel said to those shepherds, modern translation from Sean, "Guys, don't be so afraid. I'm not here to harm you. I'm here to give you the best news you could ever possibly even imagine. It's the best news you've ever been given in your entire life. The Savior of the world was just born. This is good news of great joy." Great joy, that word "great" actually means mega. Anybody want some mega joy? It literally means, and if you kind of like look at the definition, it is the absolute most, that word mega, is the absolute most that can be experienced. It means you open the joy spigot all the way. You just keep it turning. Like, come on, let me have it all. Go, 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 drench me in great joy. So I want to answer, though, three questions about great joy. The first one is, why is the birth of a Savior good news of great joy? Why? Now, to answer that, we've got to go back in time to when God created the world and the events that are described in Genesis 1 through 3. At that time, Adam and Eve were under the great joy drenching flood of God's love and his perfection. And then one day, they saw another spigot. Now, God had warned them, stay away from this other spigot. But it looked good, too. And as they walked over and, you know, they're looking at it closer. Eve thought, you know, what if I had two spigots? I mean, God did say, yeah, that's a great joy, spigot over there. But what if? And then she thought, what if God was misleading me? What if God was holding back from us? What if? And so Adam and Eve, after some hesitation and some thought and contemplation, they turned it on. The Bible describes it as them eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what came out was not great joy, but disappointment, shame, regret, and death. It turned out God was not holding back on them. But they had fallen for temptation. They had grabbed something they thought would satisfy them. And everything we know of sin and suffering and death and hardship and pain came out of that spigot. See, God had given them great joy, but they had just ruined it. And you cannot simply close the valve and say, oh, oops, nothing happened here. Once it's open, it's open. So then what? Well, even though humanity had messed everything up, on that day God made a promise. He promised to send a Savior who would reverse it all. He would mend humanity's brokenness and restore the relationship with God that they had violated. And when this Savior would come to earth, then people could know peace in their hearts again and know the perfect love that God had for them yet again, because great joy would be possible again in the future. And so the angel in Luke chapter 2 is announcing the arrival of that Savior. What a message. Good news of great joy is now possible because Jesus, the Christ, has come. Jesus, the wellspring of all joy, has arrived. Jesus, God Himself, clothed in flesh, came to save humanity from all of their sin. And because Jesus came to earth, anyone who believes in Him can experience great joy. This is why the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ was good news of great joy. It's the best news of all time. That's the first question. Second question, how does a Savior fill the joy vacuum? Right? I believe we all have a joy vacuum. How does a Savior fill the joy vacuum? Well, just like Adam and Eve, all of us are trying to fill our hearts with joy. You know, we go to all kinds of spigots in this world in the hope that it will satisfy us. And what we're really doing there is we're searching for happiness and we're confusing it with joy. So here's a couple examples, right? We come over to the spigot and we're like, all right, look, here's the deal. I'm going to do a kitchen remodel on my house. And when that kitchen remodel comes, man, that spigot is going to be opened up and I will never have to do another remodel project in my entire life because my heart will be filled. Or you might think, all right, look, I'm going to post this online and if I get 100 likes, 500 likes, you pick your number. 1,000 likes of the thing that I posted about my life. I will have the validation that I need. And oh, then the spigot is open. Let it flow and give me the happiness that I want. You see where this goes, right? Boy, we search for these things all over the place. Maybe you start dating somebody and you think, oh, this person is the one. Now, it's not because you haven't dated other people you thought were the one over time. You have. But, oh, this person, they're different, right? They're going to complete your heart and your soul in a way that nobody else could. You will never be, like, dissatisfied again in your whole life. You will never be lonely again in your whole life. right? You have turned that faucet. You're like, come on, relationship, fill me up. Now, what we're actually looking for in all of these cases, boy, we could just go on and on and on, is we're looking for happiness. See, happiness is an emotion that's directly connected to our circumstances. So if circumstances are great, we're happy. But if circumstances start to go down and they're bad, well, all of a sudden we're sad. So it's very normal for all of us to do what I was just describing. We think, oh, this is going to be the thing. Oh, this is going to be the thing. Turn it on. Fill me up. The writer of Proverbs points out how we do this and where it leads us. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. See, it seems right to try to satisfy our hearts with happiness, but it doesn't work. If you think of your own life, I bet you've experienced this disappointment that I'm describing. At some point, we all discover that being happy is not as simple as all of the ad campaigns tell us. Years ago, I really, really, really badly wanted some in-ear headphones. This was before they were such the rage. And, oh, I was so excited about these things. I love music and I love exercising. And I thought, man, if I could have some in-ear headphones, that would be like this perfect combination. I was an innovator at that point, right? This is like 10, 15 years ago. They were barely starting on the market. And I did a lot of research on this. I talked to professional audio engineers about the best in-ear headphones you could possibly get. I used a bunch of my Christmas money and I bought some. They came to my house and I got that package. This was like a ceremonial unwrapping of the in-ear headphones. I laid it all out. I'm looking at all the different parts. I even read the directions. That was a bad sign right there. And I learned something about my ears on that day. I have unusually small ear canals, which means, and I do not need you to come up and tell me later that you have a solution for my small ear canal problem, okay? My ear canals are so small, no in-ear headphone works for me. It just doesn't work. So here I am sitting with these amazing, top-of-the-line, very expensive, highly researched headphones, and they're other than returning them, they're useless to me. I was crushed. I had spent dozens of hours researching this. Dozens of hours. I laugh at it now. I'm like, man, what a fool I was. But look, I had wrapped my heart around those headphones is what I'd done. And there's a lesson in this, that when our human heart locks onto something for happiness, if anything goes wrong with whatever that is, there's like this implosion inside of our hearts. There's this inner disruption that has incredible sucking power as it just collapses on top of itself. And for days, weeks, or years, we are wrecked because something that we wrapped our heart around disappointed us. And so then we come up with new strategies. We'll say, well, I'm just going to swap that out. That's what I'm going to do. The swap out strategy says, I'm going to swap out the thing I thought would give me love, or the thing I thought would make me happy, for something else. So you say, look, love disappointed me, so I'll go after a career. Or you say, well, actually, my career disappointed me, so I'm actually going to go after a hobby. Or you might say, you know, working out and being athletic disappointed me, so now I'm going to become a foodie, right? You just swap it out, right? Whatever you think is going to make you happy. Or you could say, well, I just turn it up. I didn't do enough of it. So you just add more of the same thing, right? So more relationships. Well, like, look, I guess I just like turned it a little bit and got a little relationship. So I guess I'll just keep it going and get more relationship. We thought money would make us happy. So we're like, okay, I'm making more money than I ever thought. Well, that actually doesn't make me all that happy. I guess I need to get more money. So you just turn it up. You turn it up. You turn it up. You keep turning it up. And you think, well, I guess that's going to make me happy. And that doesn't work either. And eventually the third strategy is we say, hey, I just give up. I'm done. I give up on it all. This is the cynic's strategy. The cynic says, look, I've been disappointed by strategy one and two too many times. I'm just going to give up looking for happiness. I've been hurt too deeply. I just can't handle anymore. Look, none of these strategies work, and we know it. St. Augustine, back in 397 AD, wrote, our heart is unquiet. Meaning, our heart is searching, our heart is unsettled until it rests in you. And he's talking about you being God. This is not a new thing that we're experiencing today. This has been true for centuries. There's a joy vacuum in our hearts, and nothing in this world can fill it. Biblical joy now is different from happiness. Biblical joy can include happiness, but it must involve a deep sense of satisfaction and confidence in your heart that you are at peace with God. And then because you're at peace with God, disappointments from life's spigot of happiness, they don't ruin you anymore. Because you're at peace with God, you praise God with excitement because he's been so good to you. See, great joy is only possible because Jesus can save you and he can fill the joy vacuum. Jesus came to earth. He took on flesh so that he could die on a cross for our sins, rise again from the dead, and offer great joy. That is the good news message of great joy that the angel was proclaiming. Now, this is what the Bible lays out, and I believe that this is true. I know many of you do believe this is true, but let's just follow this logic. If this is true, that only Jesus can give you great joy, then let's answer the third question. How do you open your joy spigot all the way? How do you do that? You just want to crank it out, right? You just want to keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that if you'll place your faith in Jesus as your Savior, believing he is real, you will know his great joy. When you do that, your joy spigot will open all the way. This requires a step of faith. You have to admit that all of your strategies to fill your joy vacuum are not working. They have never worked, and they're not going to work, and you have to believe that Jesus is going to save you if you'll turn to him. This is why Jesus came to earth. That's why he came as a baby. A lot of people misunderstand this. It tells us in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And when you're saved by Jesus, great joy is yours. See, all of this is why the angel was so excited to tell the shepherds of the best news of the greatest joy ever. The angels are saying, with Jesus, when you lock your heart onto him for your daily joy, oh, you can know the creator of joy itself. So the question I have for you is, do you know this great joy? Do you know it? Because if you do, then Christmas is a special time to praise Jesus for your salvation. And if you don't, great joy can be yours and you can know it. If you would believe in your heart that Jesus is real and place your faith in him, he will save you and flood you with his great joy. If you would like to experience that great joy by knowing the creator of joy itself, I'd like to give you a chance to become a Christian and become a follower of his this morning. It goes in a simple way of just praying a prayer and repeating some words after I do. It's a great prayer for all of us to pray as we just acknowledge that he is the only source of great joy and that we need him, and it's only by looking to him that our hearts will truly be satisfied by his presence. So would you bow your heads together with me right now? And what I'd like to do is, if you would like to experience this great joy for the first time in your life, you've never experienced this before, pray this right now with me. Jesus, I believe you came to earth to save humanity from our sins and give us great joy. I want to know you, and I want to know the great joy you offer. So right now, I place my faith in you. I place my faith in you and ask you to save me. I admit I could never do this on my own. I am guilty, just like Adam and Eve. I've tried to fill my life with happiness, all the time ignoring the great joy and the salvation that you offer. I won't live perfectly, but I will follow you. And I ask you in faith right now to save me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.